Good morning. How are you? Good, cold, snowy. All right, great. Glad you're here. Let me double down real quick on this phases thing that Brady and Aaron are doing. I think that's one of the most overlooked things is parents having spiritual conversations with their children. I think typically we go, I don't know, somebody at the church teach my kids about God. That's not the way God designed things. God designed it for us as parents to teach our kids. So please, come on, there's childcare, there's food. Come 4 to 5:30. And also, Pastor Ron is out in Calcutta, Indiana, and he's doing a mission trip there, and he wants me to say hello. He's preaching this morning or last night or whatever, but he wants to say hello. With no further ado, let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for everybody who's here. I ask that all of us would just walk away with one little thing that we could take away from this time that's true about you and about us and how we're meant to interact with you. In Jesus' name, amen. I got two little girls who are actually in attendance this morning, 7-year-old Maymay and 5-year-old Bummer. And when they were born, these children, you know, as all children, they come out just trying to figure the world out. And the first thing they get a glimpse of is mommy. But mommy isn't, you know, kids can't really see all that well. So it's really more mommy blob. And there's mommy blob. And she liked, Mamie liked mommy blob from the get-go because mommy blob had, you know, food and whatnot. And it's from whence baby came. And so mommy blob was her thing. Well, then daddy blob shows up. And daddy blob is a taller version of mommy blob with more hair and not as good looking. And daddy blob is around. And suddenly Mamie's trying to figure out daddy blob. And do I like Daddy Blob? And what's the deal with Daddy Blob? And Daddy Blob would try to hold her and show love to her and kind of rock her. And so suddenly she's going, all right, I like this Daddy Blob guy. And then she would start to do certain things and she would figure out, oh, I can make Daddy Blob really smile. And then she figured out, there's also things I can get Daddy Blob to do to get real frustrated and hand me back to Mommy Blob. So she's figuring out the rules of engagement with Daddy Blob. And she's trying to figure out, who is this guy? And as she's growing up, she's getting a better sense, oh, he's like this, and he does these things, and oh, he's actually a pretty good guy, and oh, he's fun to wrestle with, and he's fun to do this, but then he doesn't like it when I do this, so I have to change this. And she's figuring out my character, and also a little bit of a function box. If I do this, can this happen? And if this, then this. But she's also really, it's challenging for a child to process an adult. Why does daddy go away for 8 hours a day into the home office? Why doesn't he just stay out here? I mean, we're having a blast. Why does he go in there and get all during work and then come out? What's going on there? She can't process me and all of the things that are going on with me. Up until recently, if you asked my daughters, what does your father do for work? They would have gone, meetings. Like, that's the best they have. Meetings. And then I travel a lot, so in a hotel. So meetings in a hotel is just a terrible way to describe what anyone does for work. And so their brains are just trying to get a sense of who I am and how even to get what they want. In my house, ice cream is kind of like the premium. That's the deal. And so there's something that's going on in my little girl's brains that's trying to figure, okay, how do I get the ice cream? What's it going to take for that ice cream to get inside of me? And so they're starting, okay, well, it has to be in the house. That's for starters. It's got to be in the house. But then there's all sorts of things they don't understand. So my wife and I, we kind of have an algorithm, right, on whether or not ice cream is going to show up in their bowls. Did they have dairy earlier in the day? If it's too late, is it going to keep them up? Are we spoiling them by giving it to them all the time? So we're trying to figure these things out. And what to us makes perfect sense and is actually some sort of consistency to my little girls, sorry girls, can seem inconsistent. Oh, we don't know. I can't figure out how to get ice cream and how. Well, they don't know. They don't know because it's a little bit, it's above their pay grade really is what it is. It's up here. And so their brains are looking at me, we'll just say for me for now, they're looking at me going, I want to figure this guy out. I want to understand him better. I can't quite understand everything, but he seems like a good guy. And I'm glad he happens to be in the house. This is a good thing. And I think we are the same way towards God. That there is something in us, at some point, we got the sense of God, we heard about God, maybe we were children, maybe it was recently, and it was, okay, who is God Blob? which is a great title for a talk. God blob, who is this God blob? There's a God blob out there, and I don't quite know who he is, but I want to get to know him better. And so you start to investigate him and you have conversations with other people, like with these spiritual conversations with other people, we had to boil them down. Really they are, is us going, who's God blob? And you go, well, I think God blob's a little like this. And then you go, well, I think God blob is a little like this. And God blob starts to get into a little more focused. And that's why we sit and read the scriptures. So we go, hey, if there's a creator God out there who has some influence on the world, I want to know who he is. So I'm reading the scriptures, go, oh, well, here's a story about God, and I think I see him a little more clearly. Or here's how he interacts with these people. Oh, I'm starting to see this a little more clearly. And this, what was God blob, is starting to come more and more into focus as we understand his character and what he does and what he doesn't do. And we come to understand, oh, this God, huh, he seems to be good and loving and just. But here's the thing, just like my daughters can't fully know me, I'm a complicated man. I've got too much going on for them to fully understand me and who I am and to properly predict everything. It's like us with God. We are finite human beings with finite little bodies. We live and exist in space and time in a small area of the world, in a small area of human history. That's us. And yet we're trying to get to know giant, has always existed, will always exist, does not exist in space and time, God. He made everything. Nobody hears that and goes, no, I think I got him figured out. We don't, we can't. He's blah, and we're meh. Like there is an otherness to God. There is an otherness to this God that we can know and yet cannot know. He's knowable and yet inscrutable at the same time. We can only know so much of him, but we're trying to figure him out. Well, Creator God at one point looked at human history and he said, I want to actually move out of beyond space and time right into space and time. What we believe is he showed up in the person of Jesus. And this Jesus guy shows up, he's a Jewish carpenter in kind of middle of nowhere, Middle East, Israel area, Jewish guy, and God shows up in Jesus and starts to communicate to people and letting them know things so that he can help them understand what God is like, because he's, I don't know, he's God. And Jesus goes, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he says that. So he heals people and he teaches people things and he inspires them and says, hey, let's be kind to the poor and the oppressed. And oh, we're getting a sense of what God is like through this person, Jesus. Well, the disciples, these are the followers of Jesus. These are these ragtag group of just ne'er-do-well fishermen who follow along Jesus. Go, you seem to be pretty good to us. We want to learn more about God through you. And so they're picking up, oh, God likes this. God likes kindness and compassion and grace and mercy. And God likes, oh, and we see that through here. But they also have these expectations about God that they've put together. So at the time, the nation of Israel, God's chosen people who Jesus and the disciples were all a part of, they were under Roman oppression. And the Romans were bad dudes. Like they ran this place really roughshod. And they oppressed the Jews. I mean, these were the gladiator type Romans. They got the sword and the spear and all that. Like they were rude and terrible to God's chosen people. So all of God's people, they had been hanging on and waiting for the Messiah, meaning the new king of Israel, to show up and to take out anybody who was oppressing Israel and bring Israel to its glory. Oh, finally. So these disciples, these little fishermen guys are going, we found the guy. We got the guy. We got the guy. We got the guy. This is the guy. It's Jesus, and he's going to show back up with power, and he's going to be the king. So they have these expectations. Well, as things play out, Jesus gets executed by those very Romans, hung on a cross to die, and then, as a nice little postscript, raises from the dead. He comes back from the dead, and he visits with his friends. And his friends are all going, oh, it's on. Here we go. King Jesus, who can't be killed, about to take these Romans out. And here's what plays out in the book of Acts. It says this, they gathered his disciples, gathered around him, Jesus, and said, all right, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Let's put that crown on. Let's get a sword. Let's go to town. And he goes, whoa. I added whoa. It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. It's not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his authority, but you'll receive power So just, he says, hang on. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to tell about me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. And you can almost hear the disciples go, oh, yay, Holy Spirit, yay. Because they're going, no. We've learned about you. You love your nation. You love your people. You want good things to happen. You're a just God. So you're going to do this, right? No. And it's in that moment the disciples get this, what a picture is like a the short circuit. And that short circuit happens in this liminal space between who you think God is and how he will function and how things actually play out. And that moment goes back to the title of the series, Not What I Expected. Put another way, it's when we have these disappointments with God. That we think God will function one way and yet we're disappointed he didn't do what we thought would be in line with how we know him. I'd ask if anybody here has been disappointed by God, but I'm afraid your hands will shoot up so fast you'll hurt your arms. We've all been disappointed by God. And I'm not just saying disappointed by life, but it's that moment when that disappointment by life, I thought things would go this way and they didn't, that we look at God and go, you. And it's those disappointment moments that really test us, that make us have to reconsider what we know about God. And it's those disappointment moments that bake our noodles and can really rock our faith very, very hard. So what are some of these disappointments? Let me pause here and say, if when I say disappointments with God, something in you immediately goes to something massive and tragic. Can we hang on to that for a minute? I'll get to some of that at the end. But if that's you, I know, oh my gosh, so many of y'all have been through such incredible pain. I don't want anything I'm about to say to sound pat or easy by any means. And so hold off to that. When I'm saying disappointment with God, maybe what comes to mind is maybe something that you're looking at your marriage and going, this isn't what I expected. This isn't how I thought things were going to play out. I love them, but this isn't the marriage I thought. I thought my wife would be more like this, but she's not. And I thought my husband would be more like, and that's not, and I'm disappointed. God, what? Why? Are you looking at your children and going, no, I thought my kids would go this way and they turn out like this, but this isn't happening. Why are my kids not the way I thought they were? And now I'm disappointed and I got this moment. Or maybe it's your friendship. You thought, oh no, this friendship is for life. But somehow that friend disappointed you and your friendship fell apart and you went, God, no, if you're good, you wouldn't have allowed that. What's going on there? Or maybe it's a career thing. It's a success thing. You've been working and working and going and blowing and hey, I've been doing all the right things and God, I'm following you and then I got this. And then your career just isn't going where you want it to go. The aspirations you had for your life, you find yourself coming up short and you're looking at God going, I'm disappointed right now. Or maybe you're single. And you're going, I did not think I would be single this long. I'll tell you real quickly. I'm from Texas. And in Texas, after you get your high school diploma, they give you a wife. Like everybody's getting married right out of high school, right out of college. And so I get out of college and all my buddies go and get married like right away. And all I wanted, to be honest, I didn't care so much about a career or doing things. I just wanted to get married. I just wanted to get married and have family. That was my thing. I just wanted that. And yet, it was not somehow the right time. So I move out to Los Angeles for one reason or another. I'm in Los Angeles, and every day I'm just getting more and more frustrated. Why am I not married? That guy's married. He's an idiot, and he's married, and I'm semi-idiot, but I'm like, come on, what's going on? And I'm just getting more and more disappointed with God. What's going on? And what I'm really saying is it shouldn't be like this. It should not be like this. So I don't know where that is for you. And by the way, let me say this. If there's something in you that's like, well, I have a disappointment, but it's really small. Hey, don't say that. If it hurts you, it matters, okay? It matters. So what's that spot in between, I thought God was like this, but how things are playing out is making me go, tss. I think there's three kind of main unhealthy responses we can have to those. And again, I don't want to make any of this sound pat or easy, but I just want to identify these. Number one is when we are hurting and we're disappointed with God, there might be some weird religious-y gross thing in us that goes, no, 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 everything's fine. Ha ha ha, everything's fine. No, 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 I believe in God and he's always good. And so that didn't really happen and it really doesn't bother me. And you just sitting on the trunk lid as best as you can while it's popping up. And no, 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 everything's fine. Because God wouldn't want to hear from me about how disappointed and hurt I am. And then over here is just the untethered, letting it all out, blame of God and looking at God and crying foul. That you pull the flag and you throw the yellow flag and go, out of bounds. You just functioned out of bounds. That is not okay. And when we get there, what creeps in is bitterness, and this is a weird word to use towards God, but bitterness and unforgiveness. And we start to calcify, ossify, and grow tight and pull back. And there's something in us that grows cold, pulling back from God and saying, if this, then this, no way. And we get bitter and bitter and bitter. And with that is something kind of in the middle. I kept having this image all week of imagine a metal black box with a big lock on it sitting right here. And inside this box is one thing. It's the answer to the question, why? Why did this happen? Why did this, why did you allow this? Why did this happen? Why? And for so many of us, we obsess over what's in that box. And we grab that box and demand that God open that box and we hold that box and we pull on that box and we work that box and we break our fingers, pull our fingernails off, trying to get into that box and it won't happen, it won't happen, it won't happen and God's not giving me an answer on why. And we set the box down and we stare at the box and we get all worked up about the box and everything else is going on in our lives and we have blocked everything out because I have to get the answer. I can't do anything until I find out why. Why? What is in the box? God, tell me what's in the box. I've got to find out what's in the box. There's this really hard book of the Bible called Job. It's in the Old Testament. It's probably one of the oldest books in the Bible. And it's the story of this guy, Job, who had everything loaded, massive family, had it all. For one reason or another, he lost all of his children were killed. He lost every dime. He was down to nothing. And the book's about 41 chapters. And 39 of those chapters are Job's friends coming around going, all right, we got to figure out why. Let's find out why this happened. What'd you do wrong? What happened? What went wrong? 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 And isn't that us? When things go wrong, we go, why? Why? And I'll get to in a minute that that's okay to ask. But when that consumes us, we're lost. We're lost. Everything goes out the window and we drift right on in to bitterness. So we bury our emotions. We cry, foul, this is not okay. Or we obsess over the why, over the why. And yet, what can we do? I'll share some things that I think you possibly can do when you're in that season. And again, please don't hear these as a, well, here's five easy steps to feeling better. That doesn't work. But maybe there's one or two things in here that might help you in that season. Number one is share your emotions with God. I don't have a Bible that says, now don't tell God you don't like something. That's not how God functions. We see in the Psalms, God, David going, hey God, I don't like this. This isn't cool. This is really hurting. I'm disappointed. I'm frustrated. We see that over and over. And God does not scold because someone goes, I'm hurting. My little girls are allowed to look at Kristen and I and go, I don't like this. I feel frustrated. I feel sad. That's fine. Now that can devolve into bad stuff, but they're allowed. And as a matter of fact, it's great when they go, I'm just sad. Oh my gosh. As parents, we just hug them like, oh, I know, baby. I know. Do you believe that there is a God out there who's able to take your emotions and go, I know. And don't think you have to have a nice, neat package. Okay, God, I'm sad. But like you could cry and really be frustrated with God and he'd go, I got it. He's pretty big. I think he can handle our emotions. We need to share those emotions with God, let those out. Next, I actually believe it's fine to ask why. Matter of fact, I think it's healthy to ask why. Because sometimes we look at things in our lives that feel disappointing and frustrating, and we're wanting to know, hey, did something go awry here? Did something I do cause this? And how great would it be for God to go, hey, buddy, I love you. The reason you've got this bad situation is because of these decisions, and I don't want you to make those decisions again. It's not like God's gonna go, now knock it. It's, hey, I want better for you. I've met with guys before who are like, I can't believe I'm not married. And I'm looking at them going, because you're a selfish pig. Of course you're not married. And there are reasons, I'm sorry, not to be rude, but there are, and that's probably me, that's probably why. But there are reasons sometimes, and sometimes God will give us those reasons. And sometimes he won't. Next, and this is a really tough question to ask, but you were to ask God, what are you teaching me in this? Or the way I ask it is, what are you growing in me in this? My career hasn't gone the way I thought it would. This is, I'm really struggling here in the, and yes, okay, God, I need to tell you how bummed I am, but then to go, what are you teaching me? What are you growing in me? Is there something good here? If my girls don't get ice cream, how crazy would it be if they go, okay, I'm a little disappointed, but is there something good you're growing in me? Yes, we're growing self-discipline and we won't get addicted to sugar and that, oh, now I feel better. And then they walk away and play with Barbies or whatever. But maybe, you know, and maybe we would turn to God and go, it doesn't deny how painful this is, but is there something I could possibly learn in this? And I think often God goes, yeah. Let me come close to you in this. Another good question is to ask is, am I just waiting on something? I'm disappointed right now, and my brain is going, this will last forever. But am I just waiting on something? Well, when I was out in Los Angeles, I finally meet Kristen, and well, now we're married. Here's the deal. She's 10 years younger than me. If I'd have married her when I wanted to get married, it would have been illegal, except in Alabama. Like, Mark Brady's here somewhere.
That's right.
But here's the thing. I'll say this. If God had pulled me aside and gone, okay, let me tell you, she's in middle school right now, and I don't know how much it really would have helped. It's not like I would have gone, oh, thank goodness. All right, now I can. I would have gone, no, but maybe just knowing, hey, you're in a holding pattern. I used to hear that all the time from my mom. She would just say, hey, it just sounds like you're in a, like a plane in a holding pattern. You're in a holding pattern, buddy. You're in a holding pattern. Maybe you're in a holding pattern on this. This is a really hard one, but thanking God. And I don't necessarily mean thanking him for that thing that's disappointing you, but thanking him for anything else that seems good in your life. God, I'm disappointed about this, but thank you for this sandwich. Thank you. I'm disappointed my husband isn't, but thank you that he did this. I'm disappointed my career isn't, but thank you I have a job. Thank you for this. We see in scripture, and psychology actually proves this, the more grateful we are, and you have to be grateful to someone, you can't just be grateful to space, but like grateful to God for something, somehow the more peace we get, and the more our soul goes, okay. Okay, again, it doesn't deny this thing that's bugging you, but it just opens your eyes up to, there's actually a little more goodness around me than I thought. And with that is suffering well. And I hate to use that phrase, but I think it's important that as you go through those times of disappointment, those seasons, whatever it is, that you would suffer well. I got to know a guy recently, this muckety muck at a big old school out east, and he's a loving Jesus follower, and he got hit with such a massive hard depression in high school and college. And he asked God, God, heal me, get rid of this, please, and it didn't happen. And so he walked away from God. But he ended up coming back to God because as he read the scriptures, you know what he found? He found a God that sometimes did things that we expected, sometimes didn't, but was always walking with us through our suffering. And that could sound trite if you haven't ever tasted that and seen that even in the midst of pain and disappointment, there is this almost indescribable, ineffable, I just had this picture this morning of this like gold laser. And that's walking with God in the midst of those seasons of disappointment and suffering. And if we could ever look at God and say the following, we would be in a pretty good spot. You know what? You know what's best. You know what's best. My hope is one day my little girls grow up and they look at my wife and I and go, boy, you really knew what was best for us, didn't you? You didn't always, still wanted that ice cream, but you knew what was best for us. And if we could look at God and go, you know what? I can't compute all of this, but I think you know what's best. And maybe with that is looking at that box and finally walking away from the box and going, maybe one of the most mature things you could ever say is, I don't know, and that's okay. I don't know, and that's okay. Isn't that faith? I don't have to know. I don't have to know the why. One day I will, but I don't have to know the why. Job, book of Job ends up going where Job's friends are all, what went wrong? And Job's like, I don't know. And you know what happens? God shows up and he kind of cracks his knuckles and goes, all right, knuckleheads, come here. And he sits down. God doesn't call you knuckleheads, just them. And he says this, God says, okay, guys, where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Oh, so tell me if you understand. God's being a little cheeky here, okay? So just read through this. He said, oh, tell me if you must understand. Well, who marked off its dimensions? Surely y'all know. I mean, you must know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. This Job chapter 38, and I think it goes into 39, is God going, hey, I'm infinite. You're a human. You can't possibly see or know all that I've seen and all that I know. And almost as if to say, just shh, shh, I am God and you are not. And that's hard, right? Our little humanistic minds go, no, that's not good enough. But he is God and we are not. And in those seasons when we're looking at God, but I thought you were loving, good, and just. But this, it doesn't compute. So what do you do? Like, how do you deal with this? There's a great moment in the book of John where all these people, there were crowds who followed Jesus because they wanted to come see, you know, the David Blaine magic show. They wanted to see the miracles. They wanted to see him do this. They thought his teaching was cool. They thought he was going to throw down the Rome, all this stuff. But then one by one, these people would peel off and go, you know what? He's not for me. He's not for me. He's not for me. He's not for me. And Jesus, you can kind of sense the desperation or at least the disappointment. He kind of sits down and he looks at his buddies, the guys who are still running with him. I mean, these guys were the lowest of the low. He's looking at them and go, are y'all going to leave too? And they have the chance. They can go, yeah, we're kind of out. He goes, are y'all going to leave too? And this is what Simon Peter says. Peter, he's just so blunt. He goes, Lord, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. He basically says, are we disappointed? Are you not playing out the way we thought you would? Yeah. Where else are we going to go? You are teaching us deep truths about the God of the universe. You are the one who set the stars in the sky. You are the one who made us. You are the one who understands everything we could never understand. Where else am I going to go? You ever gotten to that point where you're so disappointed and so mad at God and you end up going, not just, well, where else am I gonna go, but where else am I gonna go? You are good somehow. You are loving somehow. You are just somehow. Not long after this, what happens is Jesus goes, let me just make a final statement so that there can never be any question about how I feel about you and who I am. I'll allow myself to be nailed to a cross, bleed out and die, so that everything you've ever done wrong will not be counted against you in God's eyes. I will die for you so you can never question my love for you. I will provide for you the Everest against which all the foothills of every problem in your life can be measured. My love for you is proven once and for all at the cross. I had this thought on the drive over last night, and this was a challenger for me, and I'm still not sure I've got a great answer, but I'll ask this. If everything in your life was awful and tragic, would you still be able to look at the cross alone and say, he is good, he is loving, and he is just? I don't know if I could, but I want to be at that spot. Where else will I go? He's the God who died for me. Where else will I go? I'll finish with a personal story here. So in 2004, the day my wife and I are like, we're gonna get married. And like, we hadn't gone on a date. It's a whole great crazy story. That day is one of the best days of our lives, but it was also, to be honest, probably one of the worst days of my wife's life. Because that very day, she got a call that her father, who she loves, 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 close, at the ripe old age of 49, was diagnosed with ALS, with Lou Gehrig's disease. Nobody gets out of Lou Gehrig's disease alive. And so that was hard. So what are you gonna do? So here's something crazy, some nutty. Scott, his wife, Georgianne, is this very simple woman. She's just simple. She's just simple. And she loves God. She's devoted to God. Oh, yeah, well, let's do what God says. So she, looking in the scriptures, well, we have to pray that he be healed, and he'll be healed. So that'll be fine. We're all like, okay. And so Scott, of course, like, yeah, I'll pray for me to be healed. And so Kristen, yeah, we're going to pray for him to be healed. And me, little Mr. Conservative Chris, yeah, I'm not sure. And then I come around, you know, well, I guess, well, yeah, let's pray for him to be, why not? Let's pray for him to be healed. So we're praying for him to be healed because we're going, well, we see in scripture, God's like this. He's like, this is what he's going to, this got to be it, right? He's going to. And so we're praying and praying, constantly praying. He ends up in a nursing facility. This goes on for years and years and years. His health deteriorating, deteriorating, deteriorating. And yet still praying, we're praying for this. Anybody who walked in, you want to pray? I just work it. Yeah, we'll pray. So everybody, okay, we'll pray, pray, praying. And Scott's holding on. And he's really holding on to life because I'm waiting for God to do something good. And then he died. Then he died. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? And to be honest, I'm looking at my wife and thinking, if she walked away from God at this point, I'd kind of get it. And I'm looking at Georgianne, my mother-in-law, and going, if she is destroyed, I would get it. I would get it. But they weren't. Soon after, my wife is in the scriptures and praying and talking to God. And not in a, everything's fine, but in a heartbreaking, I'm coming to God way. And he's still somehow good in light of the cross, in the light of all these other, he's somehow still good. And sweet Georgianne, oh, this broke her heart, and yet still right there, still right there, still right there, not making this up, not long after, she calls Kristen and goes, you won't believe it. This family moved in next door to me and he has ALS. I'm gonna go pray for him. What? Yes, I'm gonna go pray for him. And I'm gonna go, I get to show love to them. Who does that? I'll tell you who does that. Anybody, boy, God bless y'all. Anybody who is so intertwined with Jesus, and they go, where else will I go? Who else gives me the life that I need? And he doesn't always do what we hope or think he will do. And yet we're tied in with him. And we walk with him. And we believe he suffers with us and his heart breaks alongside of us. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray. God, I just thank you for, well, I thank you for the faith that I'm surrounded by that inspires me. And I pray grace over everybody in this room that they would, gosh, even in the midst of disappointment and flat out awful tragedy, somehow still cling to the old rugged cross, still cling to Jesus. I pray your grace over all of us. Help all of us in this time of mystery when we don't know what's going on. I pray more than anything you would speak peace to us. We would come close to you and we would sense the love of the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.